This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Wonderful. Can we just give another hand to Spoken For? That was amazing. That music, was that amazing? That was so amazing. The worship, man, I was so moved. Well, I want to open up with a scripture here from Hebrews. It says, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. One of the things I'm emphasizing there is his understanding of our weaknesses because he identifies with us. So I was reading this incredible, just a staggering statistic about people in hospitals. I'm sure a lot of you have read similar things, that over 75% of people in hospitals are in the hospital because of issues related to emotions, emotionally rooted issues. This is amazing. I was reading from this, the author of the book, Healing for Damaged Emotions. It was just so amazing. They did a survey. This survey went across, you know, normal, like, suburban-type homes, and this survey was basically asking them what they believed would be their, from, like, 1 to 10, the problems they faced in life, you know, what they considered to be the biggest problems. There was things like, you know, marital issues, financial problems, being dissatisfied with your job, you know, those kinds of things. And it just really amazed this particular psychologist because across the board, what came back as number one wasn't even close. You know, number one was low self-esteem as the biggest problem. I mean, that's amazing. And so Proverbs speaks right when it says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's like a self-fulfilling prophecy of how we see ourselves and the way we experience life. You know, we look into the mirror and we see ourselves. You know, it was so many years before I could look into a mirror and not just hate the person that was looking at me. And it wasn't just because of my, you know, the way I looked physically, but who I was looking at. You know, just couldn't stand the guy. You know, mirrors are funny things. You ever go into one of those things at the fair where, you know, the mirror's all, you know, really strange and you're all like, you know, all of a sudden your hips are this big and then you're this skinny, that kind of thing. My daughter puts this computer thing on where, it, you know, it does that on the computer with her face, and it's just, you know, kind of horrifying. But, you know, it's just a weird thing. But, you know, what would happen if you grew up in a home where every single mirror was twisted in the same exact way? Like, every one of them, right? It would be very difficult to convince you, as you got older, that you did not look that way, right? It'd be very hard. Every person in authority, every family member is like a little mirror showing you who you are by the way they speak to you, by the way they treat you, by how they train you of who you are, you know, how you see you, how your little first community, your first little church of your family, how they are communicating what you look like and who you are at the deepest level. Every teacher you've had, every person in authority, a little mirror. And as you begin to see yourself that way, it's amazing how it begins to repeat itself, like more and more. And we actually become attracted to people who are like our caregivers because that's what we're familiar with. And so we're drawn to people like that. Even people, when you pick a sponsor, a lot of times, if you're not careful, you'll pick a sponsor like, just like your parents, you know, or one of your caretakers. And we see this all the time. But this image that you receive deep within you while the concrete's still wet, you know, this deep imprint, it's written on your heart who you are and how you see you. And I know that it's not just the way we see ourselves and the way they treat us, but, you know, even our parents, in many, many ways, to a woman, you look at your mom and you see yourself like, this is what I'm going to be. This is the model of me bigger. You know, my dad, I mean, I'm talking on a subconscious level here that as dad, I'm looking at dad, that's who I'm going to be. That's a model of me when I'm big and grown. You know, that's why when our dads are people of shame in the community, we feel it too. Why? Because we're identified. That's my dad. That's going to be me. And people kind of have that at a deep level. They connect that way with our parents. We're talking about identity means identical. It means the same. The same as. That's identity. It really comes from identical. And so with this image we get of ourselves, this picture, there's a feeling that goes with it. You know, whether it's just a slight, faint feeling, there's a feeling that goes, an emotion connected with the image. If I showed you right now a picture of you when you were little, there's going to be, when you see the house in the background, you see the pictures on the wall or whatever you see, and there you are, there's going to be an emotion that rises up. Positive or negative. I've seen people look at pictures they haven't seen in years and years and years, and when they see it, they just break down completely because of what happens to them in here. What was written on their hearts years ago is read, and they can hardly take it. It's a painful thing to see sometimes. Sometimes it's a good thing. We'll look at this really, really quick here. I've done this before, but this is kind of like the glacier model of our mind. We have the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. I'll just do this real quick. I'll end up erasing this too as we go. But here we have the conscious mind, the thoughts we're thinking that we're aware of, subconscious, things we're not aware of. And here, if we have a bunch of negative concepts and things spoken to you, I don't know what you've heard growing up and different things. And I'm not just picking on parents, but I'm just talking about where we've come from, our history. But here we have, you know, we're talking right brain, left brain stuff. But when we have statements that are made about you, there's also what goes along with it is the image, the picture. And just to say this, this is why addictions that have to do with images and pictures are so powerful, because we're talking right brain stuff, subconscious stuff is very difficult. It has deep-seated emotions connected to it. But there's a storyline. This is like a storyline. And this is like our knowledge and information, our logic that goes, your picture of you includes statements and mental pictures. It's a whole entire system that works together, is what I'm trying to say. It's called the heart and the mind, your heart and mind. And how many of us know things in our mind, but we don't have them in our heart? You know, this is the tough part, the subconscious part. But at the same time, I've seen people in a real practical way train themselves to do things. You know, our job, most of us have jobs that are real repetitive, especially the kind of jobs I qualify for. They're real repetitive, you know. But open a box, put it on the shelf, you know, open up the box. Anyway, this corn changed labels. That's amazing. No. But you can do it without even thinking. You know, how many of you have been driving along with someone and a car pulls out and you about put your foot through the floor as a passenger because your subconscious knows what to do? Where'd that come from? It came from here. You know, it didn't come from, you know, this person should put their foot on the brake, stopping the car. No, you just do it because it's coming out of your heart, right? And so, and we start to learn things up here, but it has to get down here. This is kind of what I'm talking about. All right, so the way we see people and ourselves, the way we see anybody determines our relationship with them, right? The picture you have and the way you think of them, the picture you have of you when you look in the mirror, when you look at a picture, determines so much about your relationship with you. Just huge. I mean, you can't hate yourself and loathe yourself and have a healthy relationship with yourself. You just can't. You could try, but you can't. You could do it for a while, but you can't. Jesus taught over and over that what's on the inside is going to make its way on the outside. He said it in many ways. You have coming in here already some kind of statement about me and a concept about me right away that gives you certain feelings that makes us have a certain relationship right away. I mean, whether it's just a little bit or a lot, right? The same thing with your boss. Like, if you see a picture of your boss right now, there's thoughts and there's a picture and there's a feeling. There's a concept that goes with how you are with your boss. And so that determines very much your relationship with him. How about if all of a sudden your mom walked in here, right here, you know, that's going to conjure up a concept and some deep feelings. How about white people in general, right? People have a concept with a feeling and statements and beliefs about white people. You know, a lot of them have to do with dancing or whatever. And we hear about a lot. How about black people, right? I mean, we live in a time now where, man, you can't say anything without being, you know, I mean, my workplace is ridiculous. Every poster has to have, like, every kind of possible color on it. It's just the strangest thing. I'm like, really? You know, I get it. You want to be fair. Do you have to have everyone in the world on this one poster, you know? I remember when there was just so hypersensitive at my job about, you know, being a racist and stuff. And I always think it's funny in ways, but I remember telling my boss, you know, my boss says, you know, where are you working, Stan? I'm like, I'm working on the other aisle with the new black guy. You know, and he goes, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, he's like, I don't see color. I'm like, okay. I'm like, it's fine because I'm black. And he goes, no, you're not. And I said, I thought you didn't see color. All right, so I'm getting somewhere with some of this. All right, so what would you think of naturally, you know, if you came in here and you saw me with this, what would you think was in this cup?
Coffee.
Coffee. Thank you for working with me, you know. But what's really in here is there's M&Ms in here, right? It's got M&Ms. So what would you think, like, if someone that didn't hear me say that, if they walked in here and saw me, what would they think was in here? Coffee, right? Now, see, that's actually a test right there that my wife and I observed somebody doing on this little kid, and they were showing the age of a kid, like a five-year-old kid couldn't put that together. Like, you know, what do you think's in here? Coffee. What will they think is in here? You know, and when they showed them the M&Ms, they were like, you know, what's that person going to think? Oh, M&Ms, you know, like they couldn't figure out they would think something different. But when they got, like, I think it was seven years old, she was like, what's in here? You know, he's like, coffee. And he goes, M&Ms. What are they going to think? And the kid said, coffee. And they could figure out there's a region of our brain dedicated to what other people think and what they're going to think. That's crazy. Isn't that cool? I mean, it's cool. It can be cool. And when I was first learning about this and watching these things they were doing with these kids showing the development of our brain and how we began thinking about other people and their thoughts, I just found it to be amazing because, you know, if you were all of a sudden in a foreign tribe, you had better figure out pretty quick what they're thinking and what they find important. You know what I mean? Because in other countries, you could get in trouble fast, you know. Oh, you don't want me to kill this cow? Sorry, you know, like, it's your aunt. But, I mean, in other countries, they think differently. And a person has to become sensitive and learn this stuff really fast. And so these mechanisms are given to us so we can survive in places where, you know, we got to figure stuff out. So, if you think other people are thinking about you in a really negative way, you know, that's going to determine your relationship with other people very, very quickly. I mean, this thing, as a fallen person, like what Corrine was talking about, when we fell, all these things that were good can now become twisted, and they can actually start to be, you know, to get used against us. So the way I see me determines my relationship with me. The way I see you, often it will determine my relationship with you. How you treat me, how I perceive you're treating me, and the way I'm going to automatically either be defensive, you know, you're a white guy or you're a black guy or whatever, you're my boss, you're like my mom, you know, and automatically there's going to be a vibe there. It's going to change things. All right, how about God? See, the way we see God, it's the same. It would determine our relationship, how we fellowship with him, how we see him will determine so much the way we relate to God. And this speaks to me so much. There are people out there that you can tell them over and over and over and over and over and over, you are a son of God. You're a daughter of God. God loves you so much. All he's done for you, the way he pours out to you, you can tell him and tell him and tell him and tell him. And it gets up there in the mind. It just won't get there. It just won't. It won't get there. I mean, they're just really, really hard pressed. It just won't absorb. I was reading a story about this guy who, he went to this counselor, and it was no one anyone knows or anyone here. But this couple were having problems where they were at an impasse where they couldn't go any farther as a married couple because, you know, this gal he's married to was just this beautiful woman, and he would tell her in the morning, "You are stunning. You're just so beautiful," and she wouldn't receive it. And he would tell her when she was at lunch, and he would tell her in the evening, and he would just tell her what she meant to him, and she could not receive it. And at first it sounded humble, but after a while it started to cause him to break down. Like, she couldn't hear it. And he realized, we've got a problem. I can't tell my wife she's beautiful and her receive that. And they went to counseling over it, and they sat down and began working on what is going on with you. And they began digging, you know. Where do you go with these kinds of problems about what I'm talking about understanding and hearing information but not getting it in your heart, deep in your heart? Well, if you have a Harley Davidson, right, where do you take it? You don't take it to a seamstress. You take it to the living room. Someone's living room, maybe. That's where it ends up when I drive it, you know. My bad. No, I'm kidding. You take it to its maker. You take it to a Harley specialist, right? Where on earth do you take a human being? You don't take a human being to the bar when you're having problems. You're not going to find a solution or a mechanic or a person that's going to understand the way someone that was made in the image of God, an image bearer, cannot be fixed in a bar. You can numb them out. You can't go to a drug dealer. You're not going to find the answer. You're talking about someone made in the image of God, an image bearer of God. You must take that person to the maker, to the one and only one that knows exactly how we're made and knows the combination to that vault where those things were written so deep within you that nobody can reach it. What you believe about God and how you think of him and how you see him is the most important thing about you as a person. It's the most important thing that's on the table in our lives is how you see God. It's not just a tiny part of us. It's not a picture hanging on the wall. It's not a brief nod before we stuff ourselves to the gills. It's the most important thing on the table. We've all been broken. We've all been broken. And I just absolutely love it that we're looking at. It says about how God sees you and us and me and people. It says in the Bible the way God sees us as image bearers and broken human beings. And I don't know how many of you are so aware daily of your brokenness, but I get reminded constantly. It says that He will not finish breaking even a reed that's bent like that. He won't just go, okay, done. He won't. This is the Savior. This is our King. This is the kind of King we're talking about. You know, the Scripture said He was coming once, and He did. It says He's coming again, and He will. And this is the kind of King that we serve now and pledge our allegiance to, and we bow before a love that we have no idea what we're dealing with this kind of person. He is love. And He will not take you and go, forget it. He will fix. And He will plant you in soil. And He will cause the sun to shine. And He will grow you. Some of us are broken in personality. Just like that. Our persons inside are broken. I'm right there. And like I said, there's a vault that only He knows. You know, people come to us and say, you know, you're the ones that are going to fix us. We've heard all about you. You're the underground people. And we'll mess with that thing. And we'll try that combination. We'll get a bit of our best try. And we don't know. I mean, we want to be the ones that know. I'd love to be the one. We can get a Savior complex ourselves and begin trying to be that. We can't. I'm a terrible Holy Spirit for you. I don't know what God wants you to do. We're trying to figure out what we're supposed to do. But He knows. And we've watched Him. And He will get down there. And He knows that 457 number combination and the exact turn. And He hears those tumblers turn. And sometimes those tumblers turning are a relapse. Sometimes it's an arrest. Sometimes it's a good thing. But He hears them falling and He knows what they mean. And the Scripture tells us that the new covenant He has made with us. And He'll take out. He reaches in that vault and He'll take out that heart of stone. And He'll put back in there a heart of flesh. He does it. I'll just show you this really, really quick. If it doesn't make sense, it's fine. Stan lived by drugs. This was my mode of operation. You could put other things there, but this was kind of the center. This was the answer. This managed my emotions. This managed all of my life. This kept me out of a lot of responsibilities because, you know, what family member is going to ask me to do anything I don't want to do because, you know, I'm a drug addict. So it kept me out of a lot of things, right? I'm just a mess. Can't count on me. Sorry, you know? So I live my life this way. And so out of this comes, you know, lies, manipulation, right? What else comes out of this? I'm stealing, right? I don't have to feel anymore. What's another one that comes out of it? Character defect. Shame. Ooh, shame, pride. All right, how about being overwhelmed? All right, I just want to show you this for an example because this isn't coming out of a textbook. This comes out of what Glenna and I have experienced in our lives. So Stan comes along. He comes to, you know, to church. He stands there and sings the songs. He's moved powerfully. And I say, I quit drugs. Yay, I give them up. Awesome. Stan quit drugs. I'm ready to go save the world, right? I quit drugs. See what I still have? I still have all this. See what I mean? Like, I thought when I quit doing drugs, that was the problem. But when I found out I quit drugs, I started running into the problem, like all these problems, right? And so God's presence comes to live in me. I put this little red triangle here, represent the powerful Holy Spirit, this intimacy with God, this wonderful, still small voice. And in this is intimacy. We're not talking about information as much as the intimacy with God, that knowing of Him. This is why people in other countries sometimes that can't even read become Christians and become powerful giants in the kingdom of God. And the fruit they're bearing is just unbelievable. And we as Americans are just so saturated with information, seminaries, knowing all this stuff, and wonder why, you know, the fruit is just these tiny little raisins coming out. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with learning those things. We're just saying the fruit comes from that powerful connection with that intimacy with God and going where He says go and doing what He says to do and trusting in His love, even if it means I want you to go to seminary, right? I mean, it all depends. So I'm seeing all these things. And I'm like, God, I'm a mess. You know? My wife says, you know, Stan, yeah, you quit doing drugs, but you know what you're doing right now, Stan? You're manipulating. Right? I get called on it. Stan, did you know that's stealing? Right? You can't take pens from work. Right? That's not right. When I'm feeling things now, instead of just solving it with drugs, did you know drugs just solve things right away? Bam, like that. Over. Now I got to deal with this. What do you mean? It's going to be around here all week. Right? This is tough. Now I got to deal with this. And as I begin to grow, what do I get for all my effort? More responsibilities. Like now my family goes, hey, will you watch our kids? I'm like, what? They see us being consistent. Now I'm asked to do things I don't want to do. You know? I get mad and I get angry, lose my top. Now I'm justifying it. I've got all this stuff where God's saying, I'm going to systematically replace this stuff with my character, with the fruits of the Spirit, and you just let Him work. And this is what I'm saying here. I'm not solving all these things right now. I'm just saying this is the way God heals us, is He begins to heal us from the inside out. For the time's sake here, I'll just mention this one thing, because this is where we're going in these sessions, is how God heals us by His Spirit. And we want it to be real, and we want it to be real practical, as He does it through identification. The scripture I read is He identifies with us. You know, I was reading a thing about torture victims, and they're trying to get them to deal with the torture they've been through, coming back from war and different things. And what they found is these people will not open up and talk about it and lay things on the table. But when they brought other torture victims around the table with them, guess what happened? They all started to talk, right? It was this thing of they did not feel safe unless someone identified with them and what they'd been through. And so I want you to know the way we have been broken, the way we have been scarred, the way people have looked at you and talked about you and done things to you, and the way we get this image has caused scars within us. And I want you to know Jesus in His risen form has scars. Right now He wears the scars on Him right this moment. So we worship a wounded Savior. And I want you to know on a much deeper level, sympathy is so different than identification. Sympathy is way different. That's me trying to understand where you're coming from. Identification is much more intimate. And I'll tell you, this is what I mean. See, I often thought of Him identifying with my sin, my problems, my weaknesses. I thought that that was him coming to earth and experiencing everything. He's been there. So now he's up there understanding because he's been there. And that gave me some comfort. But it's much better than that. He identifies with me because he came and he made his home within me as me. He identifies with me because he lives it with me. He knows I believe lies. He knows the vows I've made, the strategies I operate out of. He knows how dysfunctional I can be. He knows the way I want to medicate and the way I do. He knows all that stuff. And so what is he asking of me now that he's done all that? He's asking me to identify with him and say, I'm a son of God. I'm a child of royalty. I have a family history that has never lost a fight. I have a heritage that is so royal and wealthy and powerful. It would blow your mind if you had any idea who you're standing here talking to. That's my part. He embraced me, warts and all, and says, stand now, embrace me, and make me you, because I've made you me. Let's do this thing. The two reasons that people do not let God in that vault is because they have such a hard time receiving that message. They have a hard time receiving his love and for complete forgiveness and understanding what that means, how deep it really goes. We stand forgiven. It's a state of being. And then the other reason is we don't give that love and forgiveness to other people. Those are the two main reasons people do not recover. Is they won't receive it and they won't give it. And so I just want you to know, in ending this, it is like an American way to take people out of the slum, and we want to do that. And as you know, it is God's way. He takes the slum out of us and puts his very life essence, his very person within us, and we rise up and we walk out of the slum. And the coolest part is we turn right back around out of love and go right back to get our brothers and sisters and share the message. I know that when they were up here doing their worship and the music was playing and I was looking out over everyone, I was sitting there talking to my wife. I'm like, we are looking at the most powerful substance abuse counselors. We're looking at the most powerful healing agent in Fairbanks right here in this room. We are looking at one powerful bunch of people who has the ability to go places and do things and talk to people in a way nobody else can. And I was just filled with great joy to be standing in this room with you guys. It means so much to me. Wouldn't it be just like God to use us to rock this place, right? That's awesome. That's awesome. Rodney, I just wanted to ask you if you would come up here and say a prayer over anybody that has that vault locked and are willing to open that vault and let him come in and let his life come in and actually receive his love. For those of you that are having a hard time receiving his love the way I was talking about.
I ask you to bow your heads and just open your hearts. Open your hearts. And ask God to speak directly to you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your struggle. and he wants to take it away. Where you're at is not where he wants you to be. He has a big plan for you. So let me pray. Father God, we thank you. Lord God, for your amazing love that you have for us. Father God, our minds are just not powerful enough to really even grasp that. Father, our concept of love is so small compared to your love for us. Father, I just pray that each one here, Father, that you impress upon him how crazy in love with them you are. Father, as the scripture was read, that I know the plans I have for you. Father, impart your plan to them. Father, I just pray that you give them a glimpse of their destiny. And Father, just walk with them hand in hand. And Lord God, I just pray that you bring people along beside them that's going to continue to pick them up and dust them off. Father, help us to be that for one another. Father, help us to be real transparent with our own brokenness, not wanting to be someone else's savior, but come alongside them, Father, and be their friend. Father, we know that no one wants to be a project or a case, but Father, everyone wants to be a friend and to be loved. And Father, you said you're our friend. So Father, I just pray that this journey that you have us all on, Father, that we come alongside one another, not thinking we're better, not holding judgment, but Father, being able to voice our own brokenness and being transparent and real. Father, we know that to live a life of addiction, Father, is hard, but it makes hard people. Father, and hard people can do hard and tough things. Father, I just pray that you call up the warrior in each one. And Father, in the fight that they have before them is what's been their stronghold for so long. But Father, we know that it's a stronghold because we came in partnership with it. Father, I pray that you help them identify it as an enemy. And Father, give them the courage and the strength to stand. Father, when the wind and the waves are coming against them, Father, give them the courage to stand. Father, when no one else is standing with them, give them the courage to stand. Father God, I thank you for your mighty warriors. And Father, I just pray that you just continue to whisper that in their ear, to stand. So Lord God, we just praise you. Father, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you. And Father, we love you so much because you first loved us. And Father, you love us too much for us to stay right where we're at. Lord God, I pray you help us to surrender. Father, not surrender to the things that we've been surrendering to for so long, but Father, surrender to you. So Lord God, I just pray that each one here, Father, as they take their issue, their problem, their addiction, or whatever it may be, and Father, and lay it on the altar right now. Father God, I pray that you quickly consume it, Father, so that they can't and we can't turn around to go back for it. So Father, consume it. Lord God, we praise you. And Father, I thank you for this ministry, Father, of Stan and Glenna, And Father, their transparency, and they're able to be real. Father, share in their struggle and share in their pain so that others may be healed. Father, teach each of us to do the same. Father, no one wants to be the only one that have a problem. But Father, when we come along beside one another and start sharing exactly where we're at, Father, then we can form a team. So Lord God, praise you. And we honor you, we honor you, we honor you. And pray your blessings over each one here. And Father, I just pray that they continue to receive their healing and administer healing. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.